One thing is being able to honor men of God that come in here that's prepared and bringing a word from the Lord is really an honor. And I just want to say one thing before I even go into his introduction, that everyone here knows the heart of Pastor Kyle. For the longest time, he's always kind of felt rejected from pastors, and he's really got a heart for pastors and bringing people together, the church, the body of Christ. And I think that this is really an awesome opportunity to have Sam come tonight, because I know that Kyle's been working really, really hard just trying to build relationships with other believers. And the thing is one thing that we're going to continue doing in this region is we're going to continue to breaking down the striving, the competition of church. So I really want to open it up, because the thing is, we know the heart of our pastor and the apostolic call on this house. If we're a different breed, and that's okay. So, with all that said, Sam Martin has been on staff at Gateway Church in Bloomingdale, Georgia for about 18 years, and lead pastor at Gateway for about 7 years. He has been married to Katie Martin for 21 years and has 2 kids, 11 and 14. He loves teaching God's word and loves the challenge of teaching both experienced Christ followers as well as those that are skeptical. Seasoned, old. I didn't want to say that because I'm starting to fall in that category. And I refuse to accept it. But Pastor Kyle has been building a relationship with him for the past couple years and wants you to know that he knows Sam as a man who loves the Lord, is given to thorough study of Scripture, someone who follows Holy Spirit, a man who leads his family well. He has a heart to see people living gospel-centered life while building a relationship with Jesus and establishing the kingdom of God. Would you all please stand and welcome Pastor Sam Martin.
Is this Kyle's sweat rack? Man. Well, hey, listen, that was... Kyle texted me the other day, and he said, hey, we need some details to introduce you. I was like, I don't know. I like long walks on the beach. I'm not really sure what to say. But I'll tell you, I've been coming to Stir for a few years now. Can I keep this? I'm going to frame it. It's great. I've been coming to Stir for a couple years now, meeting with pastors. Kyle invited us, and we bring a couple people from Gateway. And I got to tell you, I'm going to get into my story just a little bit tonight. But he's not wrong. There was a divide. I called Kyle in October of last year, and I said, listen, I don't even like you that much. I disagree with some of your theology, but you got something special at Relentless. And let's meet, because I need to hear a little bit more about it. And that started, took our relationship to the next level, I think, is what happened. But Kyle's an amazing person. I did not like him. I love Kyle. He's a great guy. But I'm going to, listen, my wife Katie is right here. She travels with me. I don't travel. You all, this is special for me. I think this is the first church that I've spoken at outside of Gateway. So tell Kyle I did a good job, please. Maybe he'll invite me back. But we're going to talk about prayer tonight. I love this. I have recently learned how to pray. I know that's weird. I've been on staff at a church for about 18 years. I've been the pastor for 7. And I don't think I knew how to pray until this year. I believe that we have, my relationship with God also went to the next level. I joke with my staff. I said, I think I got saved this year. So this should be good. I think that we have a belief system centered around prayer in the church in America that is wildly incomplete. I wouldn't say that it's completely broken, but it is incomplete. And I have noticed this. I've learned this. We have not seen consistency in our prayers in America. Would you agree? I don't know. Is this kind of church that like talks back and stuff? I just want to make sure. All right. I like a lot of interaction. So don't yell at me, though. It scares me. But we haven't seen much consistency with our prayers. I don't know, maybe relentless is different. I know you guys are holy. I just sat through an hour of music. That is, I don't know if you guys know how other churches do it. We have three songs, they're 3 minutes long, and then we're done. But you guys don't have to get out and beat the Baptist to lunch, I guess, so it's okay, right? You got to get out before they close. Yeah, that's right. So listen, we're going to talk about prayer tonight because I think in the past, I love teaching to seasoned, you know, older people. Because you guys remember, prayer chains, right? You guys remember prayer chains? And then the internet was invented and we could send emails. So then there's the email thing that would go out and we'd get as many people as we could praying about a specific thing, and now it's Facebook, Instagram, whatever. You know, you put your prayer request out. And so we can fall into sometimes, you know, if I get a bunch of people praying, then maybe God's going to hear me. Right? Have you fallen into that before? I don't know. I it was always perplexing to me. Like, do I have to be the loudest? Do I have to get as many people as possible? Like, is this how it works? Should it be how it works, right? But I think that we're going to talk about prayer tonight. And I think that some of the theology that we have in America, probably not here. I'm practicing for the next place. But some of the theology that we have in America is centered around these things that they're just not true. They're not biblical. And I think we're going to find, like, I'm going to tell you something. What I learned this year, one of the things that just slapped me in the face, both confused, I said both, but I think I'm going to name a few things. Confused and frustrated, surprised, and was awesome all at the same time, okay? And we're going to start with this question, though. Here's the question. If God answered all of your prayers this week, who would benefit most, you or the kingdom of God? Thank you. I'm glad you like the question because it kind of is the basis of everything. Sometimes we pray big, right? But deep down, we're asking for something that would build our lives up and not the kingdom of God. And then we're confused. Why is it not working, right? Let's talk about this. I came up with a definition of prayer, and I'm sure that Kyle has a better definition. And listen, I love that man. I'll probably say it a few times. He has been very influential in my life. He is phenomenal. He's a phenomenal guy. But this is my definition of prayer. Here we go. Prayer is communication with God to include worship, confession, thanksgiving, intercession, and declarations. I love that you guys do declarations before every service here. Katie and my wife and I, we came here in, I think it was in November, was the first time we visited Relentless. And we have, what's that? Last year. Yeah, a year ago. I guess it is November already. We have hung up on our wall, and we gave it to several people for Christmas, the declaration that Kyle did that night. Because it was for us. It was perfect for my family. And so we have it on our wall. We have my brother-in-law sitting over here. It's on his wall. We gave it to so many people for Christmas. Yeah, hey, it's a great Christmas idea. It's cheap. It's great. Kyle does it for you. But declarations, right? Okay. Used to align with his will, with God's will, partner with his purposes, and release his power on earth. That's a long definition. Let me read it again. Prayer is communication with God to include worship, confession, thanksgiving, and intercession, and declarations used to align with his will, not my will, with his will, partner with his purposes, and release his power on the earth. Let's talk about this for a second, right? It is used to align with his will. Now, today might mess with you. Like I said, it's something that I've learned. I was hit in the face with it this past year, and it might mess with your mind just a little bit. All right, but stay with me. This message is coming straight from a real life experience. It was painful and confusing, but ultimately very rewarding for myself, my family, and those around me, right? Here's a question. What if my will, what I want, and God's will, what he wants, are in alignment? And I pray, and I pray, and I pray, and it still doesn't happen. What? How do we negotiate that as Christians? Because the scripture is clear. Listen, James 4:3, here's what it says. If you ask, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So, but my will and God's will are the same. And not my motives matter, but it's the same. How do you do this? Like, I'm a human being. And I'm going to tell you, man, this is something. God's not ignoring you, but he may be filtering out self-serving requests. This got me this year. This was something. So even a good prayer that lines up with God's will, like success, like opportunity, like healing, like freedom from addiction, whatever it is, it can be rooted in self-promotion, which would not fall under the parameters in James 4:3 that says you don't have it because your motives are wrong. Even if it is the will of God, though? Oh, man. Like, okay, this messed with me. I was reading a book last year called Secrets of a Prayer Warrior. I was looking at my wife for the answer. She's like, I don't know. The Secrets of a Prayer Warrior. And this is where, like, I experienced this, and then I read a book that explained it to me, and I was like, oh, man, this is what I was experiencing. It answered so many questions for me. But nobody had ever done that for me in the past. And so it was so special. It was a special time with the Lord because I was able to hear directly from the Lord about why in the world I would be praying God's will, but I did not get it. And I'm going to tell you, it was a terrible time in my life while I was waiting, right? Listen, so self-promotion, we got to be careful. But if I don't ask God, if I'm not praying and telling God what I want, how's he going to know? I really want these things, right? One of the things that I wanted was my wife was sick for years. My wife was sick, and I really wanted my wife to be saved too. Join me in this. It's brand new for me. It's good. I really wanted her to be healthy. We have two kids, 11 and 14 now. They could not enjoy their mother. She could not enjoy her kids. She couldn't be a mom. She couldn't be a wife. She was sick for 4 years. Really, that's when it ramped up. It was a little bit longer than that. And I know that it is God's will for us to be healthy. He created our bodies to heal. I know that sickness and disease is not God's plan, and I was praying in accordance to God's plan, and it wasn't happening. So did I know better than God? Like, what was I getting, the cart before the horse? What was I getting wrong here, right? Here's a little secret. God does not want you to be miserable. He doesn't want you, like, he's not ignoring your prayer requests. He knows you better than we know ourselves. There's no question. Here's the secret. He created you. You know, who was it that talked about, I think it was you, you were talking about how we were knit together in our mother's womb. He knows every ligament. Tell me your name, brother, because you're amazing, by the way. Your whole team, the whole team, you guys are blessed in the music. He knows you, every ligament, every strand, every muscle, every fiber of your being. He created you. We need to get rid of the spirit of selfishness and get to know God's will. But here's the problem. They were the same. And I still was struggling and it wasn't happening. Too many of our prayers, though, if answered, would glorify us and our lifestyle. But I want healing for my family. I want healing for myself. I want financial blessing and stability for my family. Right? I want these things. I want peace. And these are God's will. But I want them. Are these bad? No. They don't compete with God's will. They're not bad. They're good things. But why am I still struggling? Why? Just like when we talked about tithing just a minute ago. man, I feel like that's happening. Like money is just being robbed from me. Why is this happening? I'm praying in accordance to God's will. Also, I wouldn't mind having that new car. That blessing would be nice, you know? Let's talk about that for a minute. What is God's will for all of us? Healing. James 5, 14 and 15. Listen, it says, pray over them, anoint them with oil. A prayer offered in faith will make a sick person well. Do we believe what the Bible says? Yeah. This church does. I know. I'm working on mine still. Isaiah 53, by his wounds, we are healed. We believe that? Yes. Psalm 103, 2 through 3, he forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Do we believe that? Yes. Wealth. Let's talk about wealth for a second. Deuteronomy 8. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gave you the ability to produce wealth. It's not, for he gave you the ability to just make it by. And I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. I'm talking about, listen, we're to be the light and salt to the world. Is poverty attractive to the world? No, I don't think that's God's plan for all of us. Now, maybe in some of us we glorify God through our poverty. Can we accept that? Maybe that could be God's plan for some. I don't know. I don't know if it is or not. That's for you and the Holy Spirit to work out. But let me tell you something. It talks about wealth. Philippians 4:19 says that, and my God will meet all of my needs according to his riches, to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Not according to my riches, according to his riches. Right? We have Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord. This is, how many, I was in construction my whole life. I was a concrete, then I was a welder, and I was a home builder. I did insulation for a while. I was all over the construction industry for a long time. This scripture right here, it blesses my heart. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. Man, I could use some of that, right? That's the blessing of the Lord. What about relationships, a full life, right? Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. Those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. That's Isaiah 40. Man, this is good. He wants this relationship. He wants this full life for us. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Matthew 11. This is what God's will is. But I'm praying these things, and they're not happening in my life. Where's the disconnect, right? I said this a minute ago. I believe that God's will is for everyone to be healed, physically, mentally, spiritually, here on earth. I don't agree with the Christian cop-out that's like healing. Yeah, and I understand that some things happen and people have passed on, and that is so difficult. I'm where God wants me to be right now, but how I got to the place where I am at Gateway Church is the pastor of Gateway Church passed away. It was an unbelievably terrible situation. I do not believe that was God's will. I don't believe that was God's will. But it happened, and we're working with it. We're negotiating what in the world is happening right now. But I do believe that I'm where God has me. You know, I do believe that what it says in Romans, that all things work for good for those that love him, right? Or whatever it said. I think I horribly butchered it right there, but you get the idea. God works things out for the good of those who love him. I think that's the Sam version. So I believe that we are supposed to be healed mentally, physically here on this earth, right? But, and this is, it is controversial. Probably not here at Relentless, but that is a controversial statement in churches today. But the Bible tells us, here's another one, that it is God's will for everyone to end up in heaven. But it also goes on to tell us that not everyone will end up in heaven. So what it's telling us is this: God's will is not going to be done everywhere. So that's partly our fault. I don't want to say partly. It is our fault as Christians. And I think if we could understand, if we could grab a hold of prayer, it would move the needle much faster with much more power than we see today. But listen, here's my point. God's will is not going to be done everywhere all of the time. And here's part of my story and really where I got to love Pastor Kyle. My wife, my daughter, my son, My sister-in-law, my niece, and several other people in my family, my mother-in-law, were sick for years. Years. And it was unexplained. The doctors, nobody had answers. Nobody had answers. And it was basically like we did every diet, we did every therapy, we did every medicine, we did everything possible. In extreme. We flew out to California for therapy. We did everything that we could do. And it just wasn't happening. And I was praying and praying and praying, God, heal my family. God, heal my family. God, heal my family. Please heal my family. And honestly, listen, I think that I was praying. This is weird. This is what messed with my mind. Selfishly. And how do you negotiate that? Of course I wanted my family to be well. Of course I wanted my family to be well. But here's the kicker. Was I praying to glorify God, or was I praying for my family to be well? What if they're the same, though? Like, this is the thing that just, I need to stick my notes because I'm going to get too far ahead and too excited about what I'm saying. But what if they're the same, right? But here's what happened. It was not happening, and I began to create a belief system in my mind that was contrary to what the Scripture says. And I'm a pastor of a church. And I began to shift what I believe the Bible said. What happened was it wasn't happening the way that I read the Scripture, and so I began to interpret it differently. Since it's not happening, I believe it must mean something else. Do we do that in our lives? And I'm not just talking about healing. I'm talking about any area of our lives. Have we read Scripture, and it says what it says, and we've even gone back to the Hebrew, and we understand what it really said, but it's not what I'm experiencing. And so what I do is I change it. I reinterpret it. It must mean something else, right? It's because I'm not experiencing it. So it must be wrong because my reality is true. Right? Does that make sense to us? Man, what happened was this. God slapped me in the face. He did. I'm the pastor of a church. My family cannot come to church. My wife probably went to church 5 to 7 times last year because she couldn't do it. She was sick. She was vertigo and migraines and all kinds of stuff happening with her. And if I'm honest, it was harder on me because I had to do dishes and laundry, and it was terrible. Thank you. Thank you. It was a difficult 4 years, but last year I was done. I couldn't do it. I went to our board of directors, our elders at the church, and I told them, I said, listen, I cannot continue to preach about God's love when I'm not experiencing it. I cannot continue to do this. So they were like, hey, why don't you take a month off? And I was like, a month sounds good. And they were like, no, you should take 2 months off. Why don't you take 2 months off? Because you're rough, dude. Like, that's what's happening. I was interpreting Scripture in a way that it was not meant to be interpreted because of my experience. And this is when I called Pastor Kyle, and I was like, Kyle, I need to understand what you believe about healing, because I don't believe it. I think you're wrong, because we haven't been healed. And so let's meet. And so he met with me. But here's the thing. I began to pray just before I met with Kyle because of this. My wife couldn't come to church. People were asking me all the time. You know, Gateway is a little bit larger than this, and so there's a lot of people that were aware of the fact that my wife is not at church. And it wasn't because the new pastor, she didn't like him, you know, that kind of stuff. It was, they knew her situation and her mom's situation and several other people in our family. And so they would come to me, how's Katie doing? How's Melissa doing? How's Nora doing? How are these people doing? And at the end of the year last year, I could not sugarcoat it anymore. I got so sick of saying, oh, we're making it, you know, we're getting by, it's fine. I got so sick of making jokes, I just couldn't do it anymore. And so my congregation was coming to me asking how my family was doing, and I was simply saying, it stinks right now. It's terrible. It's so difficult. It's so hard. It is. There's no answers. It's terrible. And here's what happened. They didn't say this to my face, but I could see it in their faces. Oh, man. If the pastor's family is not being healed, what hope do I have? Because I tell my church all the time, I'm like the best person there is, you know? And if I'm not experiencing God's love, then what hope do the normal people have, you know? What hope is there? And I began to see this on their face. And so I shifted how I prayed. This was probably back in October, right before I called Pastor Kyle, because I began to see that God was not being glorified through my family's situation. And I don't, this was the Holy Spirit. This was not me, because I'm not this smart. But I began to recognize people. I love marketing. Okay, I'm a huge marketing. I love marketing. We do a lot of marketing at Gateway. And this was bad marketing for God. I literally told him, God, this is not good marketing. This is not good for the church. This is not good for you. This is not good for my family. This is not good for anybody. And I know that it is your will for them to be healed. I know that you have to be glorified through our life. Now, as individuals, we were praying, we were glorifying God, I was still preaching, we were doing all of the things that we should do. But our situation was not glorifying God. And I began to see this. And so I began to change how I prayed. Here's literally what I did. I prayed, where's the prayer? I'm getting out of my notes. See, what happens when you come to a Pentecostal-style church, like, you stop paying attention to your notes. My prayer began to be this. God, you have to be glorified through my family. So whatever that looks like, not my will, but yours be done. I'm going to start crying talking about this. Because listen to me. I got to the point, finally, I got to the point where if my family was going to remain sick, if that brought glory to God, so be it. Oh, man. I disagreed with myself. That's not what I wanted. That's not what I wanted. But I got to the point, finally, where God, if this is the thing that will bring glory to your name, I will stop fighting it. Not my will, but yours be done. And I'm going to tell you, I can look back now and I can see that was the day that everything changed. Everything changed. Within weeks, healing started. Now, it wasn't just because I prayed that way. It was because several of you prayed for us. You may not have even known who we were. But several people from this church, because I called Kyle and I said, Kyle, I'm done. I think my last sermon at Gateway, I told my wife, I need to go back and listen to it. I think my last sermon was like, save yourselves, you guys. I don't even know what the point is anymore. Go do your own thing because this is not working. I need to go back and watch it. I felt like I went home and I said, I preached one too many. Before my 2-month break, I did one too many. But within weeks, things began to change, and it started on day one of that break was a meeting with my wife and Kyle and Shira at my house. And they brought some things to us that the Holy Spirit told you guys, your prayer team and Kyle, and it shifted everything. It shifted everything. And maybe we come back sometime. I'm sure Kyle would invite us back and we can tell this story because it's like, we've been telling this story to small groups at our church and, you know, smaller groups of people so that because give opportunities for questions because there's some weird stuff. When the Holy Spirit works, weird stuff happens. Now, you guys are aware of this, I'm sure. So we've been telling a story, and it takes about 2 hours, which you guys are like 2 hours. That's a Tuesday for us. No big deal. But you guys should be scared, though. I'm not even a quarter of the way done, and there's no timer or anything back here, so I'm just going to go. But listen, so are you telling, stop when? When I get hungry, good. I brought snacks. So some of you might be sitting here right now, and you may be thinking, so you're telling me that you suffered for years, and God was just sitting up there waiting for you to crack the code, waiting for you to say some special words, right? Is that the God we serve? No, absolutely not, right? God works in mysterious ways, right? We see miracles. I've heard stories that have come out of this place. We have stories that have come out of Gateway. We all have stories from our lives. God works. God works. God works. and there's no question, there's no answer, it doesn't make any sense. But that's not how it works all the time. But what I do know is he gave us scripture. He gave us the answer. But will we dive in, or we misinterpret it? Will we reinterpret it based on our life experiences? That's what I had been doing. I had been reinterpreting scripture based on my life experience. And now I'm going to tell you, on day one, here's what I started doing. I started praying for God to bring my experience up to the level of scripture. Because what I had been doing is bringing scripture down to my experience. And I'm going to tell you, that's a recipe for failure. I started praying right away. God, I need you to bring my experience up. I want to experience what your scripture says. I'm done reinterpreting this stuff. I want to experience what it says. I believe what it says. I always believed that it was God's word, but it must mean something different. And now I believe that it's God's word, but if I'm not experiencing what it says, what am I missing? Where have I missed it? What have I gotten wrong? What have I not confessed? Where have I messed up? What door have I opened? What am I doing? What's my part? Because listen, we have the authority. We have dominion. But we don't use it. God was not being glorified in my family. And it was not because we were living our lives, right? It was our situation. And God never promises that we're going to have easy lives. That's not what this is about. God never promises we're going to have easy lives. Listen, take up your cross. That's difficult, right? He said, they hated me, they're going to hate you too. That's difficult. So it's not about easy. It is about glorifying God. That's what we can't mess up, right? 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. The most mundane, the most normal, the tiniest little things that we do, whether you eat or drink, that should glorify God. Everything should glorify God. So in other words, listen, go back to that original question. If God answered all your prayers this week, who would it benefit most? You or the kingdom of God? Me or the kingdom of God? This has changed everything about how I pray. And I think it's a great reminder, because we constantly have to check and make sure that we are back in line with scripture, with what God says, right? So how do we do this? Psalm 139, 23 through 24 says this, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So it's a prayer of surrender. Search me, O God. Point it out to me. Holy Spirit, speak to me. And show me, where have I got off out of line? So here's what I do. God, I'm asking you to search me. If there's anything in me that competes with your glory, show me and I will remove it. Show me and I will remove it. That's a commitment that we make with God. And then we follow through. Matthew 6, I love this. 6:28 through 33. Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. You know what that spin, you know what that is? It's like stressed out, toiling. I'm like, oh man, this is, I'm all wrapped up in this. They don't do that. We do. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows what you need. Remember, he made you. He knows what we need. Here's the kicker. So seek first, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then listen, all these things will be given to you as well. But we get that upside down. I want to get these things, and then I will glorify God. I need this status. I need this promotion. I need this. We just had that. We talked about tithing just a minute ago. Man, I love talking about tithing because of the blessing attached to it. But why? Not so that I get. I give because he gave. I give because he gave. I give because he went first. And listen, we talk about tithing. We talk about 10% all the time. 10%, 10%. The way that I preach, and Kyle might appreciate this. I don't know if he will or not. But 10% is the floor. That's not the goal. That's the bottom. It's 100%. New Testament tithing is 100%. It all belongs to God. God, this is all yours. What do you want me to do with it? I want to glorify you with everything that I have. Everything that I have is yours. I want to glorify you with my, even when I eat and drink. When I eat and drink, I want that to glorify you. Everything about my life. If we practice this, and these things will be given to you as well. Do we believe it or not? But it's so difficult to practice sometimes. And as good church people, even the experienced ones, who have already offended like three times, we are good church people. Our will and God's will are in alignment most of the time, I would say. But what about our motives? What about our motives? This is exactly what we experienced. This, all these things will be added to you as well. It's exactly what we experienced in the Martin House. It is supernatural truth of God that does and will happen when you seek first his kingdom. Now, there's a story in Joshua 10, the sun stand still story. You guys familiar with this story? We'll read it. It doesn't matter if you're familiar. I don't know why I asked. Here we go. In ancient cultures all over the world, if you're not familiar with this story, we're going to read it in a second, but I got to tell you, because it's an amazing story. Okay, so Joshua, they're in this battle, and Joshua says, sun, stop where you are. Moon, stop where you are. Which, by the way, I get my 14-year-old every once in a while to explain to me why I can see the whole sun and only part of the moon at times. It doesn't make any sense to me, but anyway, that's for a different day. So there are stories passed down through time all around the world that talk about this day, right? Now, this is interesting. Have you heard of the Maori of New Zealand? They tell about their hero. His name is Maui. Does that sound familiar to you guys from, what's that Disney movie? Moana, yeah. So in the intro of Moana, he actually lassos the sun. Disney is teaching the Bible. For just like 3 seconds. Right? This is all through. There's Greek mythology. The Egyptians tell this story about ancient priests reportedly remember a time from Egypt where the sun reversed or paused, right? Pantheon loses control of his sun chariot, causing a cosmic disruption. That's Greek mythology. There's stories passed down all about this story where the sun stood still, right? And here's what we know. When God moves, the world takes notice. When God moves, the world takes notice. All right, so here we go. We all want to see this bold, dramatic, this big move of God, right? Okay, I just want to make sure. Still with me, right? Should we stop? Is it time for dinner? Not yet? All right. Because some fell asleep, I think. I don't know. Kyle said I can go for like 3 hours, so. After this, I have some Baptist theology we're going to get into, but. Listen, we want to be a part of miracles that stop time. They heal pain. They open doors. They silence the enemy. But here's the truth. Stop here. Bold prayers don't begin with big words. They begin with deep surrender. They don't begin with big words. Listen, Jesus talks about this. We have the Pharisee and the tax collector in the synagogue. The tax collector is like, have mercy on me, O God, I'm a sinner. And he was like, that's what I love right there. That glorifies me. Not all the big fancy words and the long prayers and all this kind of, like, there's nothing wrong with that. But that's not what moves God's heart. What moves God is your heart. It is deep surrender. So before Joshua ever asked the sun to stand still, he had already chosen to obey. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Even when the path was messy and difficult, before we start praying to God or for asking God to move heaven and earth, we need to ask, am I aligned with what he already said? I preach about this all the time at Gateway, and I know you guys don't need it, so I'm going to just go real fast. But I don't know, why do we stop? Why do we ask God to do something when we haven't done what he's already asked us to do? And God's like, hey, I already told you. I already told you. This happened to me just a few weeks ago. I was praying about something, and God said, do this. And I was like, I don't really want to, so I'm going to move on. I had an argument with God for about 3 weeks. I don't recommend it. I did not want to do what he was asking me to do. And finally, he said, do you want me or do you want this? And I said, God, I want you. I finally gave up. He got me. He like beat me in chess or whatever it was. But listen, here's what I know. Am I aligned with what he already said? Because real prayer doesn't push our will upwards. It pulls God's will down. Remember the definition of prayer? It's way up top, so I can't go find it. But we're releasing God's power on the earth. That's what we're doing. Not my will, yours be done. Your will be done. So here we have Joshua 10. And this guy named Adonai Zedek, right? It's just Adonai's the king. And then Zedek is his name. So the king of Jerusalem hears that Joshua has destroyed Jericho. They've destroyed Ai. And they've made peace with Gibeon, this large place. It was a large and powerful city, right? So this alliance with Israel terrified Adonai Zedek. I'm pretty sure that's how you say his name. I don't know. But in response, they form this coalition. There's five other cities that they're going with, right? Five other kings, and they form this because Israel and Gibeon, that's too much. They're starting to get afraid of what they can accomplish because they've heard stories, right? So Joshua 10, verse number 6, here we go. The Gibeonites then sent word to Joshua in the camp of Gilgal, do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly. Remember, there's this coalition of five kings, and they're attacking the Gibeonites. He said, come up quickly and save us. Help us, because the Amorite kings from the hill country have joined forces against us. Now, let's talk about this alliance that Israel has with the Gibeonites. And then we'll get to the story, because it's a great story. The Gibeonites live nearby. They actually tricked Joshua and the Israelites into this treaty. So I don't know if you remember this story. They showed up. They got moldy bread. They got all worn out clothes. And it was a big, nice city. Like, they're tricking them. Because they've heard about what they can do with Jericho and Ai, how God is working with Israel. And so they tricked him into this treaty of protection, right? Joshua and the leaders agree, and they made covenant with them. But here's the thing, without asking God, if you go back a chapter, Joshua 9, 14 through 15, it specifically says they did this without asking God. And that's a lesson. Be careful. Bring everything to God. Even the mundane little things. Everything. Even if you eat or you drink, do all to the glory of God. Okay. So later, they discovered that Gibeon was actually, they were nearby. They weren't from way far away. And they were a powerful nation. And they were just tricking them. But they had already made this covenant. And so they're kind of stuck. They're in it. We got to do it. And so they honored the agreement because they had sworn by the Lord. And so here's the result. Gibeon was under Israel's protection. They were under Israel's protection. This covenant was binding, even though it came through deception. So they send word up, hey, come help us. These guys are attacking us, right? So Joshua marched from Gilgal with his entire army, including the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. Let me stop there for a second. They're in this position. They should have never been in this position. They're in this position because they made a covenant with the country that they should not have made covenant with. And yet God still honors it. Have you ever messed up and thought to I've thought to myself, okay, I got to fix this before I can have a relationship with God restored. I got to fix what I just did. This was my fault. I did it, right? It's Psalm 51, David, have mercy on me, O God. I'm the sinner. I've screwed up. I did it. It's all me, right? That's all honest. That's all good. But never, we do not see anywhere in Scripture where God says, you fix it, you straighten up, you clean yourself up, and then you can come to me. We don't see that anywhere. So don't fall into that. Because we do, right? I do. Oh, this is my fault. I can't, like, even with my earthly father, I make a boneheaded move. I don't want to call my dad and ask him for help. Because he's going to, he never would say this because I have a very loving father. But I can believe the lies in my head where he's going to say, I told you so. I told you not to do this. And rightfully so. But our Heavenly Father doesn't do that. He doesn't do that with us. So he says, I will honor this. Not one of them will be able to withstand you today. But God. I love this. So verse number 9. After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel, so Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road going up to Beth Horon and cut them down all the way to Ezekah. I think that's how. If Kyle says things differently, just know that I say it better. And Makkedah. That too, same thing. And they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Ezekah, and the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them. Holy cow, he's fighting for them too. So not only did they screw it up, God is fighting for them. He's ahead of you. He's behind you. He's protecting. It's amazing, right? They're scattering. So they fled before Israel down all over the place. God, the Lord hurled hailstones at them. More of them died from the hail than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. They were scattering. Israelites had to go after them. It's taken some time. They spread out, and they're going after them, right? On the day that the Lord gave the Amorites over the Lord, Joshua said to the Lord, in the presence of Israel, sun stand still over Gibeon, and you moon over the valley of Ajalon. I think that's correct, too. So the moon stood the sun stood still, the moon stopped, until the nation avenged itself of its enemies. Holy moly. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So this is what I'm talking about. That definition of prayer. Prayer is communication with God to include worship, confession, thanksgiving, intercession, and declarations used to align with his will. Partner with his purpose. This is what Israel was doing. They said, hey, today you got them. Don't worry about it. And release his power on earth. Once we've gone through all of this stuff, release his power on earth. That's amazing. That's amazing. And so I'm not just talking about God. I'm going shopping today, and I would love a close-up parking spot. I'm talking about sun stand still prayers. There's so much inconsistency, I think, in the church today. But why? I think because there's not enough communication with God. There's not enough worship. There's not enough confession. There's not enough thanksgiving, intercession. Not enough declarations. Let me tell you something. After that Sunday that we came, you guys meet on Saturdays. After that Saturday that we came to your church, and we heard, we saw that declaration, just like we did today. That declaration, I'm going to go get it, and I'm going to put it on my phone, and I'm going to read it. For months, I'm going to read that declaration from today. It's powerful. Yes. We're declaring God's word out loud, which is what he tells us to do. Why don't we do this? Guess what? We do it in the Martin House, I would say 90% of the days for this year now. We've missed a few because I get tired. I go to sleep. Or I forget, or our kids are cranky, or whatever. Like, it's not 100%, but it is about 90% of the time this whole year we've done declarations. Guess what? We wrote a little booklet of declarations, and we gave them to Gateway Church this past year. And we said, listen, you guys, this is powerful. We are declaring God's word over your family, over your job, over your situations, over your health, whatever it is, your spiritual authority. We are declaring God's word. We did a sermon series, 4 weeks, called I Do Declare. Because of what we learned right here in one Saturday. And then what we experienced God do in our life. We could not stay silent. We declare God's word. Right? And then we're aligning, we're using all of these things to align with his will, partner with his purposes, and release his power on earth. Man. Don't stop short. Don't stop short. What is prayer not, though? Let's talk about that. And I'm going to gloss over this because I know we don't struggle with this here, right? Have you ever done this though? God, I pray for Sam. Amen. And God's up there like, okay, what? God, Meemaw's sick. Amen. Right? Have you done this? Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But what do you want for Sam? What do you want for Meemaw? What do you want? What do you want? Because listen, what the scripture says is life and death are in the power of the tongue. So let's declare, we are aligned. We know God's will is healing. We know God's word is, his will is prosperous. We know it's success. We know it's opportunity. We know what God's will is because we read the scripture. But we don't declare it. We don't release his power on earth. Why do we stop short? Because what if I look stupid? What if it doesn't happen? What if I look stupid? Listen, when this dude talked about plantar fasciitis, I know you guys are holier than I am, and you're probably all your eyes were closed. But you know what he did up there? He's got the guitar, and he's like, okay, holy, like I could see his head. I could see it. I see what you want me to say, but I'm going to sound stupid, right? Is this, because I could hear you were like, I don't know. Like I saw it. What if I look stupid? This is what the Holy Spirit's telling me to do. I'm going to do it. And you know what? Sometimes we see it and it's amazing. And sometimes we don't see it. Does that mean that he wasn't doing anything? No, it doesn't. What are we responsible for? For being obedient. For being obedient. God's ways are higher. What did he say to Job? You guys just went through like 100 weeks of Job, right? What was the ending? What's the only thing that helps us make sense of Job, right? At the end, God says, were you there when I hung the sun? Listen, I'm working it out. You be obedient. I'm God. You're not. Settle down and just do what I've told you to do. That's our part. And somehow, when we get that right, it releases his power on the earth. So what do you want for Sam, right? What do you want? Do you want healing? Do you want wisdom, restoration, freedom? What do you want for Meemaw? Not just, God, I'm traveling again. Let him know. Like, what prayer is not? I also have that definition. Prayer is not a one-way speech to God, updating him and asking him for things. As if he doesn't know. As if he doesn't know, but we can fall into that because it's easy. We can fall into that. God, I pray for Sam. He's going through it. He's like, I'm aware. What would you like for him? Right? No, that's not what it is. But that's what most of us, when we're tired, not relentless, but others, sometimes we can fall into that, right? But Joshua models something powerful for us here. Well, I don't even know what time it is. This doesn't have a clock on it, so it doesn't matter. Good. I love this place. My team is like, hey, dude, that's enough. Love this. Joshua models something powerful for us here. He trusts the promise. God says, listen, today they're yours. Which one of us would have thought, okay, today they're ours. I get it. God promised it. But today's going to need to be 48 hours. Who would have thunk? Is that proper? I don't know. That's good. Yeah, good. He sees the real world obstacle. He prays in alignment with what God has said he will do. And guess what? He's going to look stupid. If this doesn't work out, man, what are you talking about, Joshua? Plantar fasciitis? Are you kidding me right now? And he was like, you know what, even the small things. And someone probably who has had it said, that ain't no small thing. So what is it that he's telling you to pray? What is it? Listen, I had a prayer a few weeks ago. And I'm not, I can't divulge what it is right now. But it was a sun standstill prayer. And it wasn't from me. It was the Holy Spirit speaking through me saying, I need you to pray this. And I prayed this thing, and I told one person. And then the following week, God added on to that prayer. And I told two people because I got a little bit of confidence from the first time I prayed. And over 3 weeks, it happened. It happened. And it was one of those prayers. I'm going to tell you guys, okay, but don't tell anybody. Okay. Here's what happened. I was praying. Are we online? Can we pause that? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It don't matter. The finances at Gateway Church have been in the toilet this year, okay? Everything else, record number of salvations, record number of baptisms, first-time visitors, all of that stuff has been through the roof. It's been an amazing year. The Holy Spirit is working. It's so good. But we have been taking the tithes in like we were getting 10, 15 years ago. It was terrible. Terrible. And let me tell you something. And I'll give you amounts. We're like between $10,000 and $15,000 a week, which is, that may be what Relentless does, but it's not what we do. That doesn't even pay our mortgage. We have used all of our savings. We were struggling. And God told me to pray for $50,000 one week. And I prayed for $50,000 one week. And then God said, pray for $100,000. We got $150,000 over 3 weeks. We have never. That's not the kind of stuff that we do. But I was so scared and felt really kind of dumb because that was so insane to pray for. But we did it. Oh, we didn't do it. God did it. And it was such a cool thing to be a part of. But that was ridiculous. And God told me, listen, you're not praying big enough. Like, don't just pray to be able to pay your bills. That's not provision. That's not according to the riches of Christ Jesus. That's according to my riches. But he said, pray bigger. You're not even praying. You're not even in the ballpark. So he said, pray for $150,000 over 2 weeks. I prayed for 2 weeks, and we got it over 3 weeks, which is exactly what I prayed for. It was ridiculous. It's unbelievable. So what do you want? You're not just praying for Sam. You're not just praying for me, Mom. What is it that you're praying? Be specific. Declare God's word over your family. Declare God's word. But we have to be in alignment. And so listen, here's the deal. John 15:7 says this. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That is 100% what happened with that $150,000. I was remaining in him. He was remaining in me. And he told me what to pray. And I prayed it, and it happened. And if we do this, 100% of the time, it happens. Right? Has that been our experience? That's a bold statement. That's what Scripture says. If we can get it right, it will happen. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, I was praying God's words. If my words remain in you, whatever you wish, it will be done for you, right? That is amazing. So we ask ourselves, is God's word true or is it not? We have to stop explaining away God's promises. Well, it's not what I experienced. Must mean something different. Mm-mm. Nope. We have to stop explaining it away. And we have to start asking this. What am I missing? It didn't happen. What am I missing? That's the question. Did I miss the Holy Spirit? Did I miss it? What's going on? What's happening? Why is it different? Why is it not happening? Right? But with Joshua, he didn't pray for comfort. He prayed for victory according to God's will and God's promise. It wasn't selfish. It was a strategic kingdom partnership. Bold prayers don't bend God's will. They agree with it. So look at the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane as we begin to wrap up. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. This is Luke 22:42. Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, yours be done. So let me tell you something, another thing that prayer is not. It is not ignoring reality. It's not ignoring what you're going through. God says, cast your cares on me, because he cares about us. And how many of you guys like to fish? Nobody? Two. Okay, there we go. When you cast, is it gentle? No. Man, I've hurled some things at God. There are some times where I was driving in my car when my family was sick, and I was hurling some things at God. And guess what? He can take it. He's fine. But it is not ignoring reality or forgetting about your pain. Jesus models this for us. God, I don't want to go through this. But not my will, yours be done. We have to end there. Jesus surrendered his will completely. But it says, remain in me and my words will remain in you. Then you'll have what you ask for. So it's studying the Bible. We got to know what God said. That should be basic. Right? Like, I know it is for you guys, so I'm going to gloss over that one. Kyle does an amazing job here. But we've got to study the Bible. If we don't know what God said. And some churches can go way too far over here on this side. I'm just waiting for the Holy Spirit to tell me. That's great. But sometimes he already did. We just haven't read it. He already did. Right? This is my argument with God. God said, hey, I want you to do this thing. And you know what my first response was? I'm going to need you to confirm that with me. Like, I want my wife to tell me the same thing, or I need Miss Lee to come up and say, hey, buddy, the Holy Spirit told me to do something or tell you something. Like, I need some confirmation. You know what the Holy Spirit told me? I said, I need confirmation. He said, I already told you. That literally, it was like this intrusive, stabbing thought in my brain. I already told you. And I was like, but I don't want to. Does that count for anything? Then he stopped talking. So again, I don't recommend doing anything like I do it. All right, study the Bible. Consistently, constantly realigning ourselves to his will. Because we are human and we get off all the time. If we're not very careful, right? And then being obedient to what God has already said. So, before we pray for the sun to stand still, we have to first pray to know God's will. We have to be aligned before we ask. So here's what I challenge. Every day, Holy Spirit of God, what do you want in this situation? I've done these things. I've studied. I feel like I'm in alignment. I want to remain in you, and you remain in me. So Holy Spirit of God, what do you want in this situation? This is how I've begun to pray. Now that I'm saved, I do this. What do you want me to know? Literally, I go on Saturday nights, I go and pray at my church. And I sit there, and I pray all the normal prayers. I pray for the Holy Spirit to move, hearts to be open, like all of the normal pastor-lead-like prayers that you're supposed to pray, right? But then I stop. I pray and I ask Holy Spirit to cancel, like silence my brain. Silence my thoughts. I want to hear from you right now. And I pray and I ask, what do you want in this situation? What do you want tomorrow? What do you want? Because I want to pray your words. What do you want me to know? I pray that constantly. What do you want me to know? What do you want to show me? And then guess what? I shut up. And I listen. I listen. I just be quiet. And a magical thing happens. He speaks. It's amazing. So, it's a relationship. And then here's the thing. If we go back to that passage in Psalms where we said, hey, point out things in me. Because there are things in us that get in the way. We did a series at Gateway this year where we talked about the noise in our life. Get it out. God, Holy Spirit, point it out. What is it? I'll confess it. But here's the thing. Write down areas of your life where your will and God's will might be in tension. Even when they're the same. But maybe mine's a little bit above. Because I'm human. and I really want my family to be well, or I really want this, or I really want this. And it's a good thing. But maybe my will is on top of God's will. Write these things down and confess. And then throw it out. Be done with it. And I'm going to tell you something. This may be surprising. I know you guys are just getting to know me. And I'm wrapping up right here. But when I realized what was happening, that I was praying my will over God's will, even though they were the same, when I realized that and I flipped it, it might have been. I don't know because I can't remember everything. My wife does. She remembers every conversation, everything that I've ever said, and everything that she's told me about scheduling and all that stuff. But I don't. This might be the first time in my life that I honestly prayed God's will over the top of mine. And that's probably telling. You're probably going to tell Kyle we shouldn't have him back. He's not a very holy guy. But I'm like, holy cow, have I been praying this way my whole life? I may have been praying this way my whole life. Yes, in line with God's will. Yes, it's good. But was it selfish? We have to pray God's will so that he is glorified. That's it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for showing us how to pray. Help us, Lord, though, to have the boldness to pray according to your will, so that you are glorified. Not that we are glorified, not that we get what we want, even when they are the same thing, but Lord, we want you to be glorified 100% of the time. Lord, even if we don't, the rocks are going to cry out. But Lord, we are created to glorify you. We praise you. We serve you. We are your ambassadors. We are here with your authority, given dominion over the earth. Help us more and more every single day to live into that. And Lord, to live in your will, to glorify you like you intended. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.